Regular listener, why not check out our YouTube channel for more Arsenal and general football content? Over there, you can sign up to a Chronicles of Aguna membership, gain access to our exclusive members-only content, as well as our private Discord server. But above all, you'll be supporting me to bring you more content and continue what's been an amazing journey covering the Arsenal so far. Enjoy the show. It's the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, and we are live.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition, we're going to be discussing the six deals that Mikel Arteta and Edu are supposed to be working on, ahead of the upcoming summer transfer window. Now, many people were excited to hear yesterday that during Mikel Arteta's press conference, the Spaniard alluded to the fact that actually plans for the upcoming window were already in place, that the wheels were already in motion, that they already knew the deals that they wanted to get done. Now, he did go on to elaborate, and he did allude to the fact that, of course, that is dependent on how Arsenal's season finishes. And I think, look, anybody with a bit of common sense can work that out and can understand that and knows that the reality here is that Arsenal are in a bit of a tight spot financially, as are many football clubs in the game at the moment. But, you know, the impact of where we finish this season and how we finish this season should not be underestimated, because if and only if Arsenal were able to sneak into the UEFA Champions League for next season, whether that be via the Premier League or via the Europa League route, that would give us such a huge, huge financial boost. In the event that we don't, you know, then we at least have to try and qualify for the Europa League, because unfortunately, no European football, as positive as it might be in terms of not having to play midweek games, in terms of making our season a little bit more manageable, in terms of giving us longer breaks in between matches, you know, from a financial standpoint, as the way the club look at it will be a fucking disaster. And excuse my language, but that's the reality. You know, go out there, get European football. The Europa League is not ideal. There's a lot of games. There's some weird trips. You know, that you end up having to do. I say weird, I mean obscure, maybe a little bit out of the ordinary. Some of them in the very corners of Europe, which are never easy to kind of navigate and negotiate through when you've got Premier League games at the weekend. And Arsenal's record this season, having played games in the Europa League and then the subsequent Premier League games, has been shocking. It's been really bad. And I'm not surprised at that. You know, you look at some of the places that we have to go to. You look at the fact that it's a Thursday, Sunday turnaround. You know, it's not ideal. But as I keep on saying, the finances, the financial element of being in Europe is huge for a club like Arsenal, particularly at a time like this. And that's why the club will be desperate to get even into the Europa League, contrary to what maybe some fans might be feeling. Let's say a big hello to everybody in the live chat at the moment. Big hello to McDowell's, who says, rise up, everyone. Good morning to all the gooners across the land. Smash that like. And this is the type of news I like to wake up to. AM says, in response to the title, I'll believe it when it happens. Christos says, let's go. Hi, Harry. How you doing, mate? Welcome. Big hello to Brad, to Steve, to Danny, to Sam, to Yasir, to Tofa as well, to Aditya. To Agni, to Munyaradzi, who says, big up, Harry Simeon, love your content, man, good vibes. Thank you so much, mate, and thank you for your support. Bad Boy says, it wouldn't surprise me if Laka ended up staying. Daruv says, have we found oil under the Emirates Stadium? Maybe, who knows? A couple of questions in there as well. We'll come to those questions in a little bit. So keep them back, and I'll ask you to put them in the chat a little bit later on, just in case, you know, the chat updates and I do miss them or forget to come back to them as well. You know, if you're going to put a super chat in the thing and I miss it, make sure you tell me about it, right? The chat is constantly updating and sometimes I do miss them and I don't want to miss them. So please let me know. Don't be afraid to call it out if you've put one in there and I've not picked it up. Right, let's get on to these six deals then that Arsenal are said to be working on in this transfer market. Some of them are outgoings as well. It's not six players necessarily that we're going to bring in, but it's six deals that Arsenal are supposedly working on in order to try and improve the squad, in order to try and release funds, in order to try and maneuver the group in such a way that we're then able, to do business that will, in the longer run, or when it all is said and done, improve the squad. And these reports come from football.london. That's who's put this story together. That's my reference point here. So I'm going to start with Lucas Torreira. Now, he's currently on loan at the La Liga giants Atletico Madrid, but there is already talk of Lucas Torreira leaving the club on a permanent basis. Not had as much game time necessarily as he probably would have liked at Atletico Madrid, not had as much game time as Arsenal would have liked. But Atletico Madrid are flying high at the top of La Liga. And so, you know, how can you really complain when you're a player, when you're, you know, you look at the situation he finds himself in. And obviously, you're sitting there thinking, well, in an ideal world, Torreira plays more. But if you're Lucas Torreira and you're knocking on Diego Simeone's door day in, day out, if I'm Diego Simeone, I'm pointing to that league table and I'm saying, look, what we're doing is working and you're part of the squad and you're part of the group, but you've got to work hard. And if you continue to do that, when the right time comes, your opportunity will come along as well. So a little bit of a difficult situation for Torreira there. But what we understand is that although the football side of it hasn't necessarily gone as he would have liked, he is finding it easier to settle in Spain and in Madrid than he did in London. That's understandable. Speaks the language. The culturally, the place is obviously a lot similar to where he's used to than what North London was. So, a couple of Uruguayan teammates as well at Atletico Madrid, which probably helps Lucas Torreira and probably helps a player who moves somewhere alone. He's one of a number of players that we're supposed to be looking to move on as a bit of a cost-cutting exercise this summer. But reports from Italy, from Gazzetta dello Sport to be specific, where they're stating that Fiorentina are in the race for Lucas Torreira's permanent signature as well. So, you know, a return to Serie A, I've always said, is probably the most likely outcome for Lucas Torreira. It's a place where his stock is still surprisingly high, given that he's played very little football over the last couple of seasons. But obviously, don't forget, he joined Arsenal from Sampdoria. He made his name at Sampdoria. And at the time, Juve and various other Italian clubs were interested in him as well. So Lucas Torreira's future, in my opinion, lies in Italy. And I think that the talks about Fiorentina makes sense. And as Gazzetta dello Sport, my apologies, report, that talks are well ahead and that the midfielder himself has already given Arsenal the green light to complete that transfer. So that's number one. Lucas Torreira looks as though he could be on his way back to Italy. Another player who looks as though he could be on his way out of the Emirates Stadium this summer is Alexander Lacazette, and that is believed to be another deal that the Gunners are working on. Now, Lacazette, obviously, at the end of this season, will move into the final year of his contract, and that is significant here, because Arsenal have promised us, they've promised us that they will not allow players to go into the final year of their contract without their futures being resolved. Mikel Arteta obviously isn't going to come out and say that we're looking to sell the player. He said exactly what we expected him to say, which is that the player is still under contract, that he's playing well at the moment, which he is, and that he's still part of the plans. But I think when you think about where Arsenal find themselves, you think about the need to plan for the future, you think about the need to avoid a situation like the situations we've experienced in years gone by with players in the final year of their contract, you'd say that Arsenal probably would be wise to move Alexander Lacazette on. Where is his destination going to be, though? That remains to be seen. You know, he's been linked with the likes of Monaco. A return to France could be on the cards. He's also been linked with Atletico Madrid and Roma as well in Serie A. So Lacazette being linked with a number of places. I did say that these six deals, some of them are outgoings and some of them are incomings, but I'm getting the outgoings out of the way first. So don't just panic and feel like it's all players leaving or that there's some mass exodus going on without Arsenal looking to make any sort of moves to replace those players. But Alexander Lacazette is another one whose future is very up in the air at the moment. And I wouldn't be surprised if he is to leave the club in the summer. But that's not to say he can't do a job between now and then. That's not to say he shouldn't be played. He shouldn't be included because he has done well. And Lacazette's been a model pro since he joined Arsenal. You know, you can criticise his goal return at times. You can say maybe he's not always been as consistent as we'd have liked him to be. But in terms of his outputs, in terms of the outputs, so in terms of his work rate, his effort, you know, that can never be questioned, in my opinion. So that's another one that we're said to be working on behind the scenes. Alexander Lacazette could be on his way out. In terms of more players going out, Hector Bellerin is another one who's been heavily, heavily linked with a move away this summer. Now, I think it was last week now, reports emerged that said that he had kind of decided that his future laid elsewhere last summer. But Mikel Arteta, obviously a friend and former teammate of Hector Bellerin, persuaded him to stay one more year at the club. And in staying that one more year, he'd be doing Mikel a massive, massive favour. And it looks now as though he's honoured that year. And when we get towards the end of the season, we'll be talking about Hector Bellerin potentially moving on to pastures new. Now, where he'll end up, we don't exactly know. PSG have been linked. Barcelona, his former club, are being linked. And of course, they're holding their presidential elections this weekend. So that could be massive as well. We know that Joan Laporta, who's one of the front runners to win the election, is a massive admirer of Hector Bellerin and has named him as one of the players he'll be going after in the event that he is successful. So Hector Bellerin could be off as well. And, you know, if you could move on Torreira, if you could move on Bellerin, if you could move on Lacazette, you should be able to raise a fair amount of money in order to go and get, some more deals done. Now, one of the players that we are being linked with as a replacement for Hector Bellerin is Brighton's Tariq Lamptey. At just 20 years old, Tariq Lamptey started the Premier League season fantastically well, played 11 games at the start of the campaign for Graham Potter's side and really impressed in a number of departments. Really good defensively, got forward brilliantly, made a real impact. I think he got 3 assists and scored a goal in those 11 games in an attacking sense for Brighton as well. And he feels like he would fit. The only thing here is, what are Brighton going to be demanding for him? And will what we get for Bellerin, who's 25, 5 years his senior, and looking to move abroad, will that be enough to tempt Tariq Lamptey away from Brighton? Now, I'm sure Lamptey himself would be open to the move, but can we persuade Brighton to part ways with the player? Now, Brighton, of course, in a relegation battle, you know, and if Brighton were to go down, obviously it makes our lives easier in terms of being able to not only pick up the player, but to be able to bargain on the price and be able to drive them, drive those prices down. Now, is he an upgrade on Hector Bellerin? And this is going to be controversial, right? Because I don't think that right now he necessarily would be. That's not to say that he can't go on and be an upgrade on Hector Bellerin in the future. But with Tariq Lamptey, a lot of what we're basing our argument on is potential. And cast your minds back to when Hector Bellerin broke into the Arsenal side. We weren't just talking about one of the Premier League's potential best right backs. We were talking about someone who had the attributes to go on and become one of world football's top fullbacks. Barcelona were keeping tabs on him again, having lost him to us once before. He was making, you know, progress in terms of the Spanish setup. Obviously, Hector Bellerin's career hasn't gone on to achieve the heights that many of us thought it might. But what I'm saying is that's a prime example of where you shouldn't get too carried away by potential. After all, potential unfulfilled is not valuable. It's not worth anything because it doesn't mean anything. You can have all the potential in the world. And I talk about, you know, when I talk about these players that I think about in the past, you know, Nicolas Anelka, what a footballer he was. Potential, all the potential in the world, but an absolute idiot. And that cost him, you know. So there are so many factors that determine whether a player goes on to fulfill their potential. Is he playing in the right team? Has he got the right players around him? Is the coach the right coach for him? Is he fully focused on his own development? Is he able to stay fit, etc., etc., etc.? So there are a number of factors that go into whether or not you actually go on and fulfill that potential. And with Tarek Lamptey, although there appears to be some of that there, it is just potential at this moment in time. We've been burnt before by signing players whose injury records were questionable. And I would argue that right now Tarek Lamptey's is. So I'm not against the idea of signing Tarek Lamptey. Don't take it that way. But I guess the point I'm making is there's a massive disrespect for Hector Bellerin. And there's this idea that somebody like Tarek Lamptey would come in and at the click of a finger be automatically better and bring more to the squad, you know, than Tarek Lamptey would. And than Hector Bellerin would. And that is simply not true. We're talking about Arsenal's vice captain right now, by the way. Quick reminder, this podcast is sponsored by manscaped.com. So if your forbidden forest is in need of some deforestation, head over to manscaped.com. Enter the promo code, which is 90min20. That's 90min20. And you'll receive 20% off as well as free shipping on your order. So please do check Manscaped out. Also, if you're interested in becoming a member of the channel, you can do so by clicking on the link in the description. That will take you to the membership page and you can select which tier appeals to you. I can see Martin is having some issues doing that. Martin, it doesn't work on the iPads, I'm led to believe. It does work on the phones and it does work on computers, but I've been told by members before, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, in the chat that have already done this because I haven't actually done it, but apparently on the iPad, for some reason, it doesn't work. And I don't know why that is, but that might be the answer to your issues, Martin. But thank you so much. I hope you get it sorted, mate. Big thank you to Sia, who's just signed up to become a member now. Sia, thank you very much. Really appreciate it and welcome. Make sure you click the community tab and get the Discord server link and come and join us in there where we can... We can have a chat. Martin says he's trying on the iPhone and has no luck. Martin, I'll reach out to you after this episode, mate, because I'm not, without looking at it, I'm not 100% sure what the problem might be. But anybody else in the chat, if you know why there's an issue on the iPhone, then please help Martin out in the chat. It is really, really appreciated. Thank you, mate. And I will I'll just make a note to reach out to you. In the event that you can't get it sorted, and I'll try and help you out, mate. But thank you. Right, let's continue through the deals that we're talking about. So I've spoken about Hector Bellerin. We've spoken about Tarek Lamptey, and the fact that, in my opinion, he's not necessarily guaranteed to be an upgrade on Bellerin. Yes, the potential's there. Hopefully, you know, it happens. You know, that he comes in and he does go on to achieve those heights. But, you know, there's no guarantee with anything in football. And I'm just a bit reluctant to get carried away on the whole idea of Tarek Lamptey coming in and becoming this world-beating right back. He's looked good based on what I've seen of him, but he's only been fit half the season. So it is a small sample size as well on which we're judging him. Moving on, Arsenal are being linked with Odsonne Edouard, the Celtic striker, and it's understood that Arsenal have inquired about the player's availability and have now been quoted a fee, which is around about £21 million. I told you guys it will probably be between £15 and £20 million. That sounds about right to me, and it sounds reasonable. Given the player's goal-scoring record, it feels like he is someone that we should be looking at, especially in the event of Alexander Lacazette moving on, because I feel like this is another one where potential is there. You know, again, no guarantee that you're going to get the finished article necessarily, but that's what happens when you're shopping in this bracket that we're shopping in. When you're shopping around the the 15, 20 million pound bracket, you're going to get players that are good and could go on to be better, but you're not going to get the players that are complete. You're not going to get the Robert Lewandowski strikers of this world, right? Because if, you know, they're worth 3 times, 4 times, 5 times that amount of money. So it is a case of Arsenal, in my opinion, having to be clever in the transfer market, having to be a little bit more creative. And in my opinion, somebody like Odson Edouard represents a really good option. He's someone who I think's got the attributes to go on and achieve, can do pretty much what Lacazette can do, but also can add a physical presence and a bit more pace to the front line as well. So somebody I'm very, very interested in. And as I've said previously, given his contract situation, he'll be entering the final year of his contract next season. This feels like an opportunity to go and get this deal done. Now, there will be others interested in Odson Edouard. There's no doubt about that. So Arsenal need to make sure that if he is someone they want, they act promptly and they act in the right way and get it done. That's my view on that one. So I'd love to see Odson Edouard come into the club. And the final one I want to talk about is the links to the RB Leipzig defender, Ibrahima Konate. That's it, got there in the end. Ibrahima Konate is said to be someone that Arsenal are eyeing up this summer. He's a 21-year-old central defender. And of course, we've moved on Mustafi, Sokratis. There's a chance that David Luiz could leave. There's a chance Callum Chambers could leave. There's a chance that Mavropanos could leave on a permanent basis this summer. We don't really know what's going to happen with Saliba, if he's going to come back and walk straight back into the squad. So there's lots and lots and lots of things that could happen in the central defensive area. And it feels as though, Mikel Arteta may be sizing up another option. Now, Konate, just 21 years old, but he is the subject of interest from a number of top European clubs. And there's going to be a real race for this guy's signature. Do I think that it's anywhere near being a done deal? Do I even think that Arsenal are definitely going to get, are definitely going to lodge a bid? No, I'm not sure at this stage. It's very early on. I think, as many of you are pointing out in the chat right now, he would be expensive. Some of you pointing to the fact that, of course, Deo Upamecano is off as well. And is that going to make RB Leipzig dig their heels in a little bit more? Maybe. So we're going to have to see how that one goes. But interesting to see that Arsenal said to be monitoring Ibrahima Konate, a player that lots of you, I can see in the chat, are a fan of. Right, quick reminder to hit that like button if you haven't already. There's over 170 of you watching us live at this minute. Let me check in and see how many of you have hit the like button. And while I'm doing that, get your questions in the live chat. If you've already put them in, there's a chance I've missed them because the chat's been updating constantly. So please get your chats, your questions in the chat now, and I'll jump straight to those now, and we'll spend the rest of the stream talking about those questions and making sure that we answer them as thoroughly and to the best of my ability. We've only got 49 likes and there's 170 plus watching, so let's make sure that we get that up to 100 at the bare minimum. Ingars says, what are the six deals? So the six deals are Bellerin, Lacazette and Torreira out, Lamptey, Odson Edouard and Konate coming in. Now, this is not my information. I'm just relaying information and sharing my thoughts on it. So if this doesn't come to fruition, I don't want people jumping into my DMs, giving me grief about it. The report does come from football.london. And it's, I guess, a combination of a number of reports that a number of outlets are running with at the moment. Right, let's go over to the questions. Let's see what you guys are saying. Subigia says, Harry, what do you think about the idea of signing Luiz for one more season? Personally, I think we should only be keeping one of Luiz or holding so that Saliba can get more chances next season. I'm actually for keeping David Luiz. I think he's been really, really good this season. And not just has he been good on the football pitch. I think we're starting to learn more and more about his influence off of the field. And I think when you look at that central defensive group, you look at Gabriel holding, you know, Saliba in the event that he obviously comes back, Pablo Marie, do any of them really strike you as a charismatic leader? Not for me. I think they're all good second centre-halves. I think they're all good centre-halves who are useful when they play alongside someone. But in terms of a natural leader, I think there's very few better than David Luiz. He never shies away from things. He's always in the thick of the action. I would be keeping David Luiz for one more year. That would be my choice if I was the manager. But also, you know, we got to consider, does Mikel Arteta want to do that? I think he probably does. But does David Luiz want to stay? You know, David Luiz may feel that he could, you know, end up, you know, going back somewhere else, going back abroad. Maybe that's what he wants. You know, we don't 100% know. I do think if Arsenal want to keep him, they can persuade him. And I hope that they do so, because I think he'd be useful in and around the group, even if not playing as regularly as he is now. Masters Weekend says, Harry, should we go after Origi to come off the bench next season? Could get him cheap, 12 million or so. Thoughts? Not for me. I've never been an admirer of Divock Origi. I've never really seen what the fuss is about. I kind of always just got on with it because he would pop up with important goals at key moments. And the one that comes to mind is that goal in the Champions League final for Liverpool. But other than that, I don't really rate Divock Origi. I think he's had a miserable season at Liverpool this time around. The fact that when, you know, Firmino's out, they don't even go with Origi a lot of the time, and that they go with different options, whether it be Salah through the middle, whether it be Mane through the middle, whether it be Jota. You know, it says a lot about how Liverpool value Divock Origi at the moment. I think he's probably done enough through the duration of his Liverpool career to go out and earn himself a move now. But for me, Arsenal's not the place for Divock Origi. Just my opinion, though. What else have we got? Acer C says, hi, Harry. What are your thoughts on Ashraf Hakimi? Are the rumours true that Inter need and can't? That Inter can't make the payments. There's been a lot of talk about that lately, and there's now talk about Inter going through a takeover, which would change the financial landscape at the San Siro quite dramatically. Don't know how close that is to happening. Don't know whether it's serious or not. But, you know, we talked about this on the social club last night, and Lavi was adamant that Ashraf Hakimi is an option for Arsenal this summer. You know, I think that in the event that they can, Inter will do everything they can to hold on to this player. He's a very talented footballer, but also they only recently just signed him. So I can't see Ashraf Hakimi leaving Inter barring a financial disaster. And I think that Inter are going to go on and probably win the Scudetto this season. And off the back of that, they'll probably be able to keep hold of the likes of Ashraf Hakimi. If Arsenal had the money, then he's somebody I'd be looking at. I think he'd be fantastic. I think he would definitely be an upgrade on what we currently have. I say I'm not sure about Lamptey because of all the reasons I've discussed. But when it comes to Hakimi, I would be sure on this one. I'm just not sure that we have the financial power and the financial muscle right now to do a deal like that. I expect Hakimi to remain at Inter. Might be an unpopular opinion, but that's what I think at the minute. Big hello to Christos, who says, for you, what is the most crucial position to spend money on? For me, right now, looking at this current squad, it's got to be the centre of midfield. You know, yeah, I know we need another left back, and we probably, you know, are going to need fillers in other positions as well if we're going to allow the players I've spoken about to actually move on this summer. But the problem here is that the midfield has been a real issue for Arsenal for a while now. And, you know, Thomas Partey has had injury troubles. Is he going to get over him? Is he going to become a regular? Is he going to stay fit for a sustained period of time? We hope so. But in the event that he isn't, you know, we need another option. Danny Ceballos is going to be likely going to leave the club at the summer unless Arsenal dig out the cash to make that deal permanent. You know, and then beyond that, it's Mohamed Elneny. He's the alternative. And for me, that's just not good enough. And I think that it's a position that desperately needs addressing. And although, you know, we've found a bit more of a balance playing with the Xhaka Partey thing and then adding the number 10 into the mix, I still feel like we could still add a little bit more creativity in that deeper midfield position than what we currently have. I still don't look at Partey or Xhaka and think that they're deep lying creators necessarily. I think they can do it at times, but I still look at it and think we could do with a world-class deep midfield player here. And so for me, in terms of the big money signing this summer, if there is going to be one, that's what I would be looking at, the centre of midfield. Let's see what else we've got here. Going to pick up a few more questions. Just lost my place in the chat. Here we go. Louis Robson says, Harry, do you think we should still fight for league position if our run comes to an end in the Europa League? For me, I can't see us winning the Europa League. We have to always fight in the league, Louis, just because the position that we're in now is simply not acceptable. And the higher up in the table we finish, obviously, the better. You know, there's prize money at stake as well if the Premier League... if the club are looking at it from a financial reward perspective as well. So that is there. You know, the higher up the table you finish, the more prize money you get. And, you know, ultimately, it's just about pride, the league at the minute. You know, until things take a big swing, and you know, there were some positive results for us over the last couple of days, teams dropping points in that sort of pack ahead of us, which is obviously a positive. But a lot more is going to need to swing in our favour if Arsenal are going to qualify for Europe via the league route. But whilst it's there, whilst it's a possibility, it has to be one of our primary objectives. I think the Europa League takes precedent at the moment, but the Premier League is important as well. What else have we got? Let's pick out another one. MBAFC says, Harry, we defo need a left back for Kieran Tierney. When you consider his injury issues, who would your ideal signing as a backup be? I've been thinking about this one over the last few days, and I guess because of all the things I keep talking about, because of the fact I want to see Arsenal spend money in other areas, I'd rather see Arsenal spend money, big money, on first team players, players that are expected to start every week. I would go and get Ryan Bertrand from Southampton. He'll be available on a free transfer at the end of the season, if I'm not mistaken. I think his contract at St Mary's runs out this summer. And he's a player that we were linked with in January. We weren't able to obviously persuade Southampton to part ways. And why would they? You know, mid-season, it would have been difficult. But at 31 years old, I still think he looks in decent enough shape to do a job. And yeah, as I say, June 2021... which is, of course, just in a few months' time, his contract expires. And I feel like in a time where we've got to get creative and be a little bit smart in the transfer market, he's the type of signing we could probably be looking at. Some will say it's not good enough. Some will say, you know, that I'm accepting low standards. No, I'm just looking at where we are right now and what I think is actually achievable and realistic. And I think that one would be a realistic signing. Sam says, Harry, do you think Eddie will leave? Surely if he does, Balogun will sign a new deal. Heard he's asking for 40k per week. Do you think this is too much? Can't see us letting three strikers leave and replacing them all. First of all, I'll answer the Eddie bit. I do think Eddie will leave. I think he has to leave. If he wants to make a career for himself, he's got to move on, because it's been made abundantly clear that he is not going to get a look in at the Emirates Stadium at the minute. So yeah, if I'm Eddie Nketiah, I'm looking to move on. With the Balogun thing, I think he probably will sign a new deal in the end. They're playing hardball. That's the bottom line. Reports that he's been asking for 40k a week. I'm not sure that that's true. I wouldn't buy into that too much. It doesn't come from a particularly reliable resource. So I wouldn't get too bogged down on the numbers at the moment. I've always said it, I feel like the Balogun issue is about playing time rather than finance. And so I think it's more about the players that are ahead of him rather than what exactly is on the table from a monetary perspective. Sam also says, can't see us letting three strikers leave and replacing them all. No, we wouldn't replace them all. No way. If we did allow Lacazette to leave and Nketiah to leave, for example, I think we would bring in one. In my opinion, that should be Edouard, given the price, given all the other factors. And then I believe that Mikel Arteta maybe looks at Gabriel Martinelli as someone who can play in that centre forward role. And let's not forget that Aubameyang will play there as well at times. You know, that's Aubameyang's natural position, isn't it? And there's no reason, as we've seen in recent weeks, why Mikel Arteta against certain opponents won't feel that he can do the job in there. Inter Yanan says, would you give Guendouzi and Thomas Partey a go in midfield? I wouldn't be against it. I think they'd probably actually complement each other quite well. And I'd challenge someone to name a more physically overbearing midfield in the Premier League than those two if they were to put together some kind of partnership and get some games under their belts. I do worry about Guendouzi, though, and if there is a future for him at Arsenal, because as I've said in previous podcasts, I just wonder if too much has happened, if there's too much water under the bridge, and if Arsenal and he can get back to working together in a productive way without the whole throwing of the toys at the pram and the bad blood based on what's gone on before. And look, even the Hertha Berlin manager has described him as a bit of a child at times, described him as someone who's going through puberty. You know, there's a lot to work out with Guendouzi and Partey. I was never against Guendouzi as a player. I did think that he had faults. I did think that he was positionally a little bit ill-disciplined at times, and that probably cost us in certain moments. But I also acknowledged that he dragged us through certain games. There was a couple of games last season, in particular in the second half, where he came out and completely took the games by the scruff of the neck. One was against Spurs, one was against Villa, if I remember correctly. So I do rate the guy. I do think there's potential there. I just wonder if what's going on up here is going to cost him in the long run. Going to pick out a couple more comments before I jump off. Harish says, Harry, you're right. Midfield is a key issue, but we have to address it this summer. My picks would be Florian Neuhaus, Bissouma and Odegaard if Madrid allows for one more season. Interesting. Really, really interesting. Just going back to the Nketiah thing, Steve says, Eddie was given chances but didn't take them. We've got to start being more ruthless. I agree. And that doesn't apply just to Eddie. For me, that applies to Reece Nelson. That applies to, Joe Willock when he comes back. That applies to all of them. They're not quite at the level that we need. And that's the reality. That is the reality. Whether you're a sucker for a homegrown player or not is neither here nor there. It is about being ruthless. It is about doing what's best for the team. In years gone by, maybe we've protected players and maybe we've done what's best for players. That wasn't always necessarily what was right for the club and for the team as a whole. Right, we're going to leave it there. Don't forget to smash the like button if you haven't already. It is so, so important. Don't forget to check out manscaped.com and all their brilliant products. Enter the discount code, which is 90min20. Went blank there for a minute. That's 90min20, and you'll receive 20% off of your order as well as free shipping. Also, if you want to become a member of the Chronicles of Aguna channel, thank you to those that have signed up during this show. It is really, really appreciated. Then feel free to click on the link in the description. And I'm not going to be back with another bit of content later today, only because I am at work. I am, as soon as I finish my writing shift today, I am jumping on the train and I'm heading down to central London for my live commentary on Liverpool versus Chelsea in the Premier League for VSiN in the United States. So if you're based in the States, you can tune into VSiN and you can listen to myself bringing you commentary on the game alongside Nigel Seeley, who provides in-play betting tips for the VSiN gamblers. So do come over and check us out if you fancy it. But that's the reason why I won't be able to bring you another bit of content later on. I'd love to, but unfortunately I can't. So I'll be bringing you two tomorrow to make up for it. And I've got a Bellerin video ready to go as well. I just need to tweak a couple of bits on the edit because I had some issues when recording it. So I'll get that done at some point today. And then that can be released probably tomorrow morning for the members to check out. So yeah, be back very soon. Until then, take care of yourselves. Have a good one. All the best.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.